a bam, and you say, oh, God damn, this is a dope jam. I'm broader than Broadway. Wait, I'm broad. Yes, I'm broad. Said I'm broader than Broadway. And everyone, please join me, because I'm dealing myself. And it feels so good. Your sauce will mix with ours, and we'll make a good goulash, baby. Oh, yeah. What time is it? It's finally time for Get Wood with your pal, Jess Wood. Hello, hello, my sweet lovers and prince and princesses and queens and queenagers and all of y'alls. Oh, my humans, my witches, my warlocks, my babies. Oh, how are you? How are you? So happy to see you. I've missed you terribly. And I've thought of you so many times in this past 2 weeks that I've been gone. And I first of all want to just thank... I want to thank all the sirens of Brooklyn for coming back strong when I came back. Yeah, that's what's up. it wouldn't be the show without some sirens. There goes my ride. Okay, so I just want to say, first off, thank you so much to everybody who sent me messages while I was gone, who supported me through the trip, and who just... was so sweet and love. I felt all the love. I received it, and I just say thank you, and I'm sending so much back. I am so thrilled to just tell you to, first of all, if just take a credit card and go travel. I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, take one. Who cares? Go get a credit card and get your ass out of here. Wherever you are, get out of there and go and explore someplace, and go someplace that you never thought that you would ever go. Because let me tell you something, like I do with love, I will say this: this trip changed my whole fucking perspective. And it sounds cliche, like, oh, you travel the world, you will get a bigger perspective on the world and what is correct and what is beautiful and right. But it's true, because we don't know. Really, most simply put, oh good God, I haven't spoken in front of you in a while. Most simply put, I will say this. In France, which I fell in love with France, I stayed in a small town outside of Paris called Allotville, Maison Allotville. It was gorgeous. It was a small village. Where all the women walked around with baguettes in bags and ate them on the street walking. Can I tell you how fucking important that is to me in a city? Have your women eating bread on the streets. They're after me because we're not supposed to talk like that here in America. You know, they're coming for me because we don't preach. We tell people don't eat bread. Well, our bread is disgusting. That's why. But you could go to the goddamn, their thing, their bodega, their deli, market, whatever. It's $1 a pound, a euro, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Nothing for a big old sleeve of bread. Yeah. And you're eating it and it's warm still and it's from the deli. Okay. There's some trouble out here in Brooklyn, apparently. Sirens are going wild today. But landing in Paris, not knowing the language. Listen, I know bonjour and merci and pardon and, if you go, I think best it helps people understand that you don't know what the fuck's going on. Pardon. Like I point to my phone to like an address and be like, allô? And I will tell you this, I got lost every single place that I went. And yes, of course I have a phone, and yes, of course it has GPS, but you know what? I still got lost. And I gotta tell you, it was probably the best thing that I've ever done. Because you know why? Once you're lost, it's like you have to just humble yourself. You know nothing. You have no information, you're lost, right? You're just lost. You got to ask for help in a different language. Pardon. And then you do. And it was so humbling and wonderful to have that experience, because really, as Americans, we know they maybe not us, because we're cool and we know that we don't know anything and we're on a spiritual quest and all that stuff, right? We like things about our, you look into your stuff. But this European sensibility of one of the things that really was so beautiful to me was that they couldn't believe, because there's Starbucks there now. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, we poison the world and McDonald's and Starbucks. Like, oh no. And so I said to this one woman who was hosting me in Adotville, all of the people were home also for the Airbnbs. Like, in America, I've Airbnb'd and nobody's ever home. They're like, let yourself in. There it is, you know? But in Europe, everyone was like, hello. And so she said, no, we drink our coffee. We sit in the cafe and you look outside and you take in the people or the sights and the day, and you have your coffee. We don't walk with our coffee. And I thought, oh God, who knew that I didn't want to really walk with my coffee? I mean, I remember growing up in Hollywood, and you didn't walk with coffee in Hollywood because nobody walked, right? But I would walk, but we wouldn't walk with our coffee. But then I moved to New York and I was like, fuck yeah, I'm walking with coffee here. I'm walking here and I got coffee. Look out. You know what I mean? And so you're walking with coffee in New York City. And I guess I've grown older here in New York City. And now I go somewhere like Paris where they go, no, we do not walk with our coffee. We sit with our coffee and we conversate with our friends, or we look and enjoy the day. What is important to Americans? And I'm like, what's important to, like, a couple people asked me, what's important to Americans? And God, you know what I'm going to say, right? Money. And they were like, what? And I go, fame? And they were like, oh, sacre bleu. No, these things are not important. And you go, I know, right? Motherfucker. They fucking tricked us. And this one woman that I was talking to said to me, is America as wonderful as they say it is? And I said, who says it's wonderful? And she said, America. And I said, we have the best press. We have the best PR agents in the world. We are the madmen of the world, right? Like, we are capital. I mean, it's at the capital marketing. Oh God, the youngest, but the slickest and the most, like, yeah, we're the best. See, we're the best. Get your face done. And also, okay, I have to slow down because I'm all over the place here. But let me just tell you how amazing it was to perform in front of people who were from all over the world. I did a couple of shows in France when I first got there. I was a couple nights in Alotville, hello. And then I performed a couple of shows in the city of Paris. And I took the subway around, and it was all in different languages. And I was like, yo, I mean, wow, you really have to, like, I mean, I use a subway in New York City, but it's very, well, first of all, it's in English. I speak English. I speak the English. And so, a little bit easier. But in France, wow, I had to really, and like, I would have to memorize things in, like, you know how you have to memorize it the way, like, I was like, Maison Allodsville, like, maybe Alice in Wonderland, I did it in my own little psychedelic acid head, how I could memorize it, how to get home. And just like in New York City, also in Paris and London and Amsterdam, they fucking work on the trains on the weekends as if no poor people have anywhere to go. Because listen up, y'all. I fucking did this like a local, okay? I took the trains everywhere. I took the buses and the trains, and I did everything like a local. And that's probably why I got lost at first. But listen, if you get lost, it's fucking beautiful for your brain. It's so good for your brain. And if you don't pressure yourself into thinking like, oh, I have to be at this or I have to be at that, because that was my thing, was like, I left it pretty loose. My ends were pretty loose, except for one time when I arrived in London and I had to show up at a place where my friend's boyfriend had to leave the house. And so here's, okay, when you get off the bus, I took three trains and a bus to get to a town outside of London called Woolwich. It was a town called Woolwich, and it was a gorgeous town, and everything was built in 1522. I mean, it was all so old. You got, like, I look at, like, buildings in New York, and I'm like, oh my God, this was 1924, you know? And then you go to fucking France or London, and you go, this is 1517. No wonder it feels like I'm in a fairy tale. So I get to Woolwich, and I get off the bus, and, you know, you look at your phone, and you've got the GPS, and you've got the address in, and you're thinking to yourself, all right, I'm just going to follow the blue dot. And I look down, and the phone tells me I'm 700 feet from my friend's house. Now, that seems like, Jessica, are you kidding me? You give us 700 feet. You fucking turn, you follow the blue dot, 700 feet. When I tell you 25 minutes passed with me doing the fucking block, I was circling, I was up and down, I was crossing the street. And of course it's raining, it's London, you know? So I'm like, hello. And I'm asking neighbors, and I'm like, these people live across the street from wherever the 700 feet away from this house I am. Now, when I tell you who finally helped me, and I know a couple of you are really going to get it because you're like Hollywood, you know, actors. Okay. Central Casting must have sent a group of like chimney sweeps, how you doing, love? Like, not a lot of teeth between them, and a lot of galoshes. Well, they call them wellies out there, and it, big welly boots, and of quite some loud voices, and trucks and trains and automobiles. I was like, what the fuck is going on? But I knew that they would know where the hell I was trying to get to. So I said, excuse me, guys, could you help me find this address? And the one guy was like, well, why don't you follow the blue dot, love? And I was like, okay, stop with the blue dot. I know I'm supposed to follow the blue dot on the GPS, and it says 700 feet. But when I tell you that I've been lost here for 20 minutes, and they were like, oh, well, there you go. No worries, doll. Like, it was out of a fucking Mary Poppins blooper reel where these guys, they were just there to clean up the gutters because the leaves were falling because it started to rain and it was getting cold. Like, come on. And so they helped me. Well, there it is, just across the street there, just down that block and around the corner there, love. And I was like, thank you so much, okay, fellas. And then I finally arrived at my place. But that was the one time that I had like a time crunch, and I felt myself get like, ah! You know how I talk about a lot, like, you know, checking in with yourself and trying to be gentle and be nice to yourself if you're having a freak out moment, and have a breath, you know? Well, let me tell you how many fucking breaths I took while every breath you take there sting. I was out there getting lost. Let's get lost. And so I get in finally to my pal's house. Her guy gets to leave. I put down my stuff, and then I got to turn right around and go back out again. It's pouring rain now. It's freezing. It's 37 degrees. It's London cold as well. So it's really got you in the bones there. It's got you deep, deep into the bones, the dampness and all. And so I go back to the bus, and I'm at the bus stop again. You know, got to make sure you're on the right side of the bus, and the driving on the wrong side of the, And let me tell you, when they're in Brexit now, so they're like a whole, you know, you have to act like it's a whole different country. Well, they are. They're not an EU anymore. So when I came from Paris to London, anyway, it was fine. I brought a bottle of wine and everything. But anyway, so I, so I'm at the bus stop, and it's freezing rain, and it's crazy insane. And the bus comes, and it comes, and it stops, and it lets people off, but it doesn't let us on. Okay, now I'm like, what the, and you don't want to be, you're like in a different country, you don't want to cause a ruckus here, but I was ruckus to the people. I'm like, what's going on in there? You know, and you try to, I try to put a little lilt in my voice, like I'm a local, I'm quite upset at this bus not giving us a ride to the, what, we've got to go to work as well. And so people were like, yeah, it happens a lot. And so I had to wait a couple more. I know it's riveting fucking story about the bus, but really it got me to London, and it got me to meet up with my friend Deb Shea, who is another amazing comedian woman from New York, who I know from New York. And we got to meet up in London. She married an Englishman, so she lives in England now. And we met up, and I took her with me to the show that I was doing with the host called Andy Onions. And he was quite a delight, let me tell you, Andy Onions. He looked just like how he sounds. He's got the hair that goes out, you know. He's got a bit of fucking hair and beard. And he had a Hawaiian shirt and some long shorts on with bananas. He was quite bananas, but his name was Onions. And so, Andy Onions. Oh, was he a fucking hoot. And that was a really fun show. And also, ooh, let's get some light on the subject. And also, he put up Deb because I said, hey, this is a comic from New York. She's hilarious. And he was like, you want to do 5 minutes there, Deb? And so she was like, yeah. And so she did 5 minutes. And then by the time we had to leave, her fucking train. Okay, this is all, really, all of these stories are about, like, buses, and it's like planes, trains, and automobiles. And oh, shout out to the people that watched that who hadn't seen it and wrote to me and said they really enjoyed it, because oh fuck yeah. So we leave Andy Onion's show in a hurry, Deb and I, because her last bus or train up north to Birmingham, England, is at 10:30 in the evening, and we've left Andy Onions' show at 10:10 in the p.m. and his show's 10:30, and we've got to take a subway to the station, and she's got to run up to the, so we are running like a couple of fucking 20-year-olds who just hit a, you know, dispensary, and the cops are after us, you know. We were running like we had the run, so not the runs, but we ran. Oh man, did we run. So she made it, and she texted me, and she said just as she got into the train, they closed the doors. The last train to Birmingham, and she got on it. Yes, girl. And I said to her, I said, you're gonna make it, girl, because you did your comedy, and Andy Onions put a good good karma on us, and we left with great karma from Andy Onions. And so, yeah. But I also in London went up to a town called Hungerford, and Hungerford, England, is known for mass murder. Yes, and there, that was when guns were not illegal yet. And my friend Arabella, she is called Arabella, she told me this whole story about this massacre that happened in the town that she lives in with her family. And we were walking around, and we were walking the moors. And if you've seen American Werewolf in London, get off, stay off the moors, you know. And I was like, are we on the moors right now? Like, should we be on the moors? Like, you know what I mean? Like I was a little, I was nervous. And so she was like, yeah, this fucking guy went crazy, and he killed his mom, he killed the people, and he killed some folks in the shop, and he killed some people on the street, and he killed the cop that came because the cop didn't have any gun, and the first cop that came, and he killed, so everybody, pow, 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 pow. So she said she thinks that that's part of the reason, partly, and then there was another goddamn massacre, because you know that USA and UK are the most massacre, You did. I mean, that's where the, most of the white people are. I don't, it's just how it is. It just seems factual to me to say that out loud. Murderer. So, yeah, London was quite a, it was charming. It was charming, but it is how London is. You know what I mean? It was cold, and it was raining, and USB charges were also different. So that will throw you. But I had such a great time, and my friends all showed me such a wonderful time there in their homes, and were so generous, and I got food made for me. I mean, there's really nothing like it, and that's what I was really, really reminded of what matters, yes, what matters to us as human beings, as people, as what we need to keep us happy and healthy. Yes, food, yes, shelter, but mostly community, friends, people who show up for you, people who come and, if you know, and sit with you if you need it, or just hold space for you if you need it, or will be there to host you if you need it. Like, my friends were so funny. They said, Jess, you fucking made this decision in like a snap. And I said, I know. I just thought, well, why not? I was going to go, you know, to a different, I was going to go somewhere else, but I didn't go there. And I ended up doing this for myself. And I thought, you know what? Why not? I've never done anything like this before. I was by myself. It was very brave. A lot of cobblestone with me, with my rolly bag, with the cobblestone. I don't mean to sound like a first world, you know, complainer, but it really felt like, oh my God, the Americans, how did they... So when I got to Amsterdam, now this is where it really gets, it's going to sound anti-American, but I want to tell you, I first arrived in a place called Zaandam. And Zaandam was like, it was as if I had arrived in a wooden shoe. Like, I had just gotten off a boat and I was in a wooden shoe, and there were windmills and there were houses and buildings that looked like dollhouses, and they were all different colors and shaped like dollhouses. That's all how I can say it is. Like, I felt like I got off the train and it was, and canals, surrounding canals. And so the wind and the cool, it was pretty cold when I first arrived in Zaandam, but it was like a fairy tale. And as such, there's going to be fucking cobblestone. And so I cobblestoned my way with my rolly over to the Airbnb that I had there. And I gotta say, blessings on this motherfucker with it. He had the pre-rolls up there and he was like, hey, take a pre-roll. Here's the jar to put the money in, and here's what all the pre-rolls are. And it had all the descriptions of the pre-rolls. And I was like, fuck yeah. And I took one. And but before all this happened, let me tell you about the fucking stairwell, y'all. Do you see how narrow it is on the screen right here? You see how narrow that is? That's about how narrow the staircase was when I had to go up with my suitcase. And my little suitcase, oh, it was a little one for a couple weeks. Wait, sure, it was a little tiny one, but this bit, yeah, like, it was so hard to finagle this motherfucking quack suitcase at the pivot. That's for the shout outs, deep cut for the friends people. And I couldn't believe it. And when I tell you, I said out loud to myself in this stairwell with my luggage, turning the turn of the spiral in the narrowness of it all, I said to myself out loud, as to whoever wanted to hear, mm-hmm, how the fuck could a fat American get up in here? There's no way. There's just no fucking way. And let me tell you about the fat Americans, that you could hear them coming from a mile away. Hey, is this the right way? I think we're going to the... Like... embarrassing. They're all hopped up on McDonald's. And so I just, in Amsterdam, got the pre-roll from the Airbnb. It was a blessing. Blessings. Love. And I fucking sparked that shit up out on the smoking deck that they had. Because, yeah, if you're going to sell pre-rolls, you're going to have a smoking deck. Amsterdam. Zaandam. And when I arrived in Amsterdam, let me tell you about the fucking custom dude. All these motherfucking customs. What are you doing here? What is your purpose of being here? Motherfucker, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, what if I want to fucking what? And I go, I'm going to Zaandam. And they're like, why? That's what they said. Why? I said, I don't know, motherfucker. It was a cheap Airbnb. I don't know where the fuck I am. So, again, I don't know where the fuck I am. So I go to Zaandam. And so I smoke the pre-roll. I go to my bed. This shit was like, the pre-roll was great. But I tried to sleep. And I could hear the motherfucker snoring in the room next to me. That's how small all the things were. So anyway, got up from there, packing it up, heading out the next morning, down that motherfucking staircase. And the host comes and he's like, oh, Jessica, how did you like your... I can't do a Dutch accent for the life of me. I didn't even understand what it was like. They kind of spoke English, but in a funny way, like almost like too much emphasis on things. You know what I mean? I don't know. So he said, how was your stay? And I said, it was great, man. I had, thank you. And he goes, I said, I took a pre-roll and I left the money, you know, in the jar. And he goes, oh, which color did you take for the pre-roll? And I said, I took the brown one. And he goes, oh, that is the strongest of the all the pre-rolls. I was like, well, all right, you know. I felt like a pretty, and I go, well, you know, I've been smoking since I'm 2 years old, eh? Don't fuck around, let's see. So, and I smoked that dust, Holmes. But shut up, don't brag about that to strangers. So then I left Amsterdam, but I left Zaandam. And I went to a different place in Amsterdam that was right outside of the city where, not even outside of the city, like I walked into the main drag of the city. And I have to tell you, like, here's the thing. Paris gets a fucking bum rap, man. France gets a bum fucking rap. Paris, France gets a, like, they get a bum rap like New York City gets a bum rap. And I'm talking about how everybody around the world is like, oh, New York City is rude. New York City's rude. Like, New York City is not fucking rude. New York City has shit to do. But if they see you struggling or if you ask them nicely, they will fucking help you with whatever you fucking need. And fight me on that. Okay. So, and then they want to say Paris, France is uptight and they don't, and they're not nice and they're like stuck up or whatever. No, motherfucker, you're like weird because you don't like it when people are nice to each other. You know how many people, bonjour, bonjour. You know how many hot, fucking hot Parisian dudes were just like, bonjour. And I was like, oh, bonjour, splash. You know what I mean? Ah, it was, and I'm not going to, I can't, who am I? It's dangerous for a lady of the night. I'm not a lady of the night, but you know, it would be dangerous. Dangerous if I were. Jack the Ripper place. I didn't go to that place. That's bad news bears. But anyway, France, I loved. Pardon, if they bump into you, pardon. You know, the teenagers are nice. Everybody on the subway is quiet. Like, even at rush hour, even when the kids are all out of school, everybody, like, it is so, and the ladies are gorgeous. Like, all the ladies are, like, aging, you know, like, naturally. They're all very chic. There were no leggings. There were no leggings, and there were no sweatpants. God, fucking America. You lazy bastards. Like, you know, I have to shout out again. The sweatpants, the sweat outfits, the sweat outfits, like in the muted colors. Has everyone escaped from a mental hospital? There's no strings because they'll hang themselves with the string. And they're wearing Crocs because they can't have strings. They can't have strings because they can't be trusted because they'll hang themselves because everyone's so fucking depressed because they're eating McDonald's. Anyway, so there were no leggings and there were no sweatpants and everyone was very chic without even trying. So really, Paris, France, mwah, c'est bon, c'est magnifique, j'adore, and all that motherfucking shit, okay? I'm sexy because I'm French. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you get that? Anyway, écoutez et répétez. I loved it. And then London, you know what? London was like London, how London would say London was London. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was raining, it was chilly. People were like, yes, it's kind of chilly here. Like, it was how it was. And I liked it. I liked it fine. But then Amsterdam came along. Amsterdam, why are you like that kid in Williamsburg that moves to Williamsburg, like that 20-something-year-old kid who's just a trust fund kid, haven't had any real experience with anything, just cool, because everybody said you're really cool, and your dad gets you all the stuff that makes you look cool. And Amsterdam, why you gotta be like that? Like, I like weed, I like mushrooms, I like all that stuff, for sure. I like hookers, you know what I mean? Like, I'm so down with all the things that Amsterdam had to offer, but I gotta say, like, I like all those things, but I don't like it when you're like, I know you like all these things. Like, we've had this, like, since 1975. Like, even maybe before that. Like, we've had all these things. Like, I know, we know you fucking like it, right? Like, we're, like, the cool, like, we don't even have to be nice to you because we're, like, so cool. Like, no. You do still have to be nice. You do still have to fucking, you're not that cool. It wasn't that cool. I gotta tell you, I was not excited by the dam. Damn. So, but I will say it was really lovely that my host in Amsterdam came to the second host, not Zaandam, but the second host. He was from America originally. He came to my second show in Amsterdam. And then I And I thought that was really nice, very supportive, you know, and everyone was very supportive. Everyone was very nice. And like, he was so happy I smoked. He's like, you smoke? Let's go to the garden and have a cigarette. Everyone smoked in Europe. And that was another thing, like bread eating, smoking butts. Like, I was like, hell yeah, on the bicycles. Oh, just doing it. Well, what else? Oh, when I, you know, going, oh, I only have a couple minutes. Going back to when I was first leaving America, and the person sitting next to me in the on the flight, she was eating candy, she was coughing, and she smelled like curry. So I was like, this is, I was having like a panic attack, and we hadn't even left the tarmac yet. And so then over the loudspeaker, it was like they heard my panic, and they were like, if anyone would like to upgrade their seat for $50, and I was like, I would pay $100, I mean, I didn't tell them I'd pay $100 at that moment, but I would have paid $100 to get the fuck away from that. Ah, curry coughing candy bitch snuggle-lugavagus. Oh my god. And I was in the middle, you know. Oh dear. So I got to move, and it was fantastic. And then on the way home, a much longer trip for the flight, but I went back to Paris and hung out with the Eiffel Tower, ate more bread, walked more, bonjour a lot, pardon a bunch, and really, really feel like different being back. Feel like something happened where a couple things happened, like where I don't want to miss anything anymore, like socially. I don't want to say no to anything anymore. I don't want to be too tired or too, you know, dark or too rainy or too, you know, I'm just going to go because I want to see my friends. I know how important it is to spend time with people you love and who love you, and how hard it is for us to all kind of make that stuff happen. Like, why it's so hard for us to make good things, you know, happen, good visits happen. It's like we have to wait for, you know, tragedy to strike for all of us to get together. And I feel like it's just, we don't have to. And it's extra hard when it gets dark so early, and it's extra hard in the time of the season. And a lot of people, I myself have a lot of death, you know, this season, as I know a lot of people do, because it's unfortunately the time of the year when a lot of people pass. And so I know it's tough, and I will tell you this, I missed you so much, and I'm so glad to be here with you, and I'm so glad to show up with you and have you show up with me. I really appreciate the support, and you know I want to tell you everything, and I want you to experience joy in your life. That's the most thing that I want you to have, is experience the joy that is out there for you, no matter how you're feeling. I've been experimenting, and I just get up in the morning and I'm like, today is going to be a really good day. And then guess what? It's a good day. It's fucking crazy, man. So anyways, I love you so much. I hope that I tickled a bone in ya or on ya a couple times there, or maybe made you feel like you could take that trip or whatever. Because I'll tell you what, if I can do this, if I can go away for 2 weeks and do a bunch of places where I don't speak the languages and I don't know anybody and all that stuff. I mean, yeah, I saw a couple friends in London, but boy, oh boy, challenging yourself and just going for things that are scary. This is it, man. You know, like, we can all have great, I hope you have a job that you love, and I hope you have people around you that you love, and I hope you have a place that you love that you get to spend time in. But really, these kinds of things, oh man, I can't say enough. And you know me, you know, I don't have, you know, I'm not like a money from anywhere or anything like that. Just, living in that idea of abundance and knowing that I'm worth these experiences. And, you know, we all have bills and shit, but that's not really real. What's real are the experiences that we get to take away, you know? And so I hope that you get some good ones in the next week. And I'll see you next Tuesday, as usual. And tell your friends, share it with your pals. You know, people could use a little giggle and some fun stories. And hopefully you had some fun, and I had lots of fun seeing you and hearing from you. And I guess that's it. Okay, love you lots. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time on Get Wood. Okay, bye.